thought, Coach, that part of developing a quarterback is having an entire organization decide to hitch their wagon and go up and down with that quarterback. You did it with Kurt Warner. You did it with Mark Bulger. Does that sound about right? Do you think that's the best thing for a quarterback is when the organization goes, you're our guy, let's go?
I think that level of trust is vital. I think without it, you're never really going to get probably the level of play out of him that you want. I just think it's at the very core of how well he's going to play in his future, whoever that quarterback is. I don't believe in this competition thing. I never have. I think it's bad. I don't know of anywhere where it's worked out at any time. I think you just need to make a decision and go with that guy and get him ready to play that first game. And if, something happens, you go with number two. But I don't know how you get two quarterbacks ready to start the season. I just don't know how you do that. And there's now you've split your team, too, in terms of, I think this guy should be it. No, I think this guy should be the guy. And nothing good comes of it. I know guys do it all the time. I just don't believe in it.
Mike, I've said similar things because you have so many young skill position guys on the Browns. You have an offensive line that they're trying to build out of nothing. Nobody coming back who was a starter for most of the year last year. I would think it would take some extra time to get that unit all on the same page, and the quarterback is the essential part of that. No?
Yeah, no question. And like I said, it divides the team. It really does. Nobody knows who the starter is going to be, and in the locker room, immediately, it's going to be split on who thinks everybody, which guy should be it. And it's that same way in the community and actually in the organization. I just think it's a very difficult thing to do. Now, maybe it ends up terrific. I've never seen it be successful. Like I said, it goes back to trust. When you put all your trust in the one guy, and he's got to prove that he can't do it. And you get number two ready on the side. But, get number one, all those snaps for the season is vital, in my opinion, and you miss out on all those snaps. And, like I said, once that trust is given, hey, you're a guy, hey, that's it, we're with you, let's go, I think is incredibly important.
So this might be a little in the weeds, Coach, so feel free to correct me where necessary. Is there a threshold you hit when you find that point? Or, for lack of better terminology, is it like love, where you just know it when you see it?
Oh, goodness gracious, Mike. What the hell is this guy doing over here?
I think when you're around, it becomes very evident. I think through practice, especially through spring, even the first part of camp, it should be pretty clear to you, who you want to play with. And I just think what you do, or I think he's got a chance of being a good player. I really do. He's so far behind. I know what he was taught at Colorado, which was zero. They gave him the ball and just told him to find the open guy. And to go from that to seeing and complex defenses, and he never called a play. See, everything was called from the sideline, so he never had to call a play at the line of scrimmage. And now being in the huddle and call play, everything's new. It's like he's starting all over again. And it's good. There's a learning curve for him, too. And to be behind a veteran, I think, would be of some benefit. I know he's anxious to play. I think he's going to be a good player. I really do. But perhaps Deshaun at this point is the right guy, and for a lot of reasons. I think he's got a lot to prove. And a guy that's got a lot to prove, that's got talent, can be a dangerous guy.
Mike, I want to ask you about each one of those guys individually. I'll start with Shadur. He was a fifth-round pick, so teams overlooked him completely, until the fifth round. Trent Green, who he had success with, was an eighth-round pick. Mark Bulger was a sixth, as Dan mentioned. And Kurt Warner, of course, wasn't drafted at all. How did you... And how should the Browns take a guy who obviously was, passed over because teams saw flaws, and turn him into a real legit NFL quarterback, because you did it multiple times?
I think it begins with, just the discipline of what you do and having them operate within your system and not go off the rails, so to speak. And the problem with Deshaun Watson is that's how he played the game in Houston. A lot of the stuff was broken plays, and so having to fit into a real disciplined passing game and get things on tempo and whatnot is new for him. And then all the other things that happen with him is obvious. It's going to be a distraction, but I think it's there, for him to adjust to it. And he's a veteran. He's an older guy. He should be able to do that and embrace it. And I think he probably has. Shadur's going to be hard because he's never been exposed to anything like that. Like I said, and I'm not exaggerating, he never called a plane a huddle at Colorado his whole time there. He never had to read a defense or had a progression to go through or any of those things. It was just flag football in the park for him. So there's a lot for him, and I know he's anxious, and I know how competitive he is, but he may be best served just to sit for a while and continue to learn this game at a different level. And I think Deshaun is a little bit in that boat, but not quite the extreme. At least he's played and played at a high level. And I think once a guy's played at the high level, then it's your job as a coach to get him to that level. If he showed it, he can do it. Let's get in there.
We threw out a couple of names earlier, Coach, before you joined us. Rich Gannon started for a while and then disappeared for like 5 or 6 years with injuries and not playing very much. Geno Smith went from starting with the Jets to sitting for like 5 years and came back. How do you get it back if you're an organization? And with Deshaun, he's only played 19 games in the last 5 years, and shoulder and Achilles injuries. How do you get it back?
It's a marriage of the system and the guy coaching along with the player itself. This is a criticism of the league, but it's been true for so many years. There's just very few teams that know how to get a quarterback developed. And it's not just throw plays at him, say, you know, hear the play, figure it out, go play. There's too much of that system offense where you put a system in, you try and make the guy learn the system and just do the system and without the flexibility. And I just think that the discipline of the game has got to be taught in the very beginning, and they have to adapt to it. And if they refuse to adapt to it, they want to go off on their own, so to speak, they'll never make it, and at least not the highest level. Those guys that I had were obviously talented enough, but they bought into what we were doing, and they gave themselves 100% over to learning it and trying to execute it and all the details that we wanted from them, and they were committed. That's number one. Number two, and the biggest thing, is they all had something to prove. They'd all been kicked to the curb at some standpoint in their lives or their career. And really, Deshaun's in that same group. He's a guy that's got the talent. He's got something to prove. He's an angry guy down and deep inside. And, those are the kinds of guys that have breakout years like that.
Mike Martz joining us on the Wise Heart Right We Make It Right Call. Kyle Wright, Hotline. Joint practices starting today in Cleveland, Coach. Why have these become so important for teams?
You know, the whole idea of going against a different team, you see the same stuff every day, offensive and defensively, and you predict it. You know, it's kind of predictable how things will come out. There's nothing really different. You know, when you're putting an offensive play, the defense knows it. They go through walkthroughs for it. Now when you see somebody completely different, you don't know what to expect. Now the players have got to just react in real game type of tempo. And the tempo of the practices just changes to basically a game tempo. That's why there's so many fights and altercations, because it becomes very, very competitive. And, you know, guys are trying to make the roster and these tempers flare. But I think it's the competitive part is really good. But the other part is just seeing your guys under pressure against something that's totally different, being able to react in the right way that you want them to react to something different. And, you know, that's such a big part of this game, instead of just being robots. And you get into a bit of a groove when you practice against your own guys. You know what's going to be good and what isn't. And you see something that's different, and you can show where it doesn't count, and you can make these mistakes under pressure and correct them, is a really big deal.
Mike, you told us many times you like Kevin Stefanski's work as an offensive play caller and this play designs. I think he got a raw deal being the guy that got let go here. You know, I thought either keep both the GM and the coach, or you let them both go, whatever, and said they split it up. Todd Monken comes in. What have you thought of Todd's offensive work over his career?
I think he's excellent. I think Todd's real good, solid, and I think Kevin was too. You know, the biggest issue is going to be the relationship with that quarterback and getting him ready to play, whether that's Todd or the coordinator or the quarterback coach. And being specific, the biggest deal that's missing in quarterback play in the NFL are specifics with the quarterback. The really good teams have great guys in there that can be specific about what they're trying to do and teach them, and here's what we can expect, here's how we're going to apply this and the reason why and all that, instead of just running a system in there and say, well, Coach, wait a minute, what if they play two men? Well, you know, make something happen, you know. I've heard that so many times in meetings, it makes me sick. You'd be shocked at how poorly the quarterback position is coached by probably half the teams in the league. You'd be dumbfounded.
Wow.
It's funny you say that, Coach, because it always makes me laugh. And Mike Martz joining us on the Hotline. the amount of times that I hear the phrase, the head coach is playing quarterback when watching the NFL, with talking to people around there, it that's what popped into my head the minute you say that. How many teams do you think have it where the head coach is playing quarterback?
I think Andy does a great job with quarterbacks, probably as good as anybody. Obviously, up in Sal, they've done a great job there. There's a number of them. Now, I think the coordinator out the Chargers now is going to change the dynamics of that whole situation completely, because now the head coach will be removed with it completely, and which he needs to be. There's some real strong relationships between head coach / head coordinators in the league, and they're successful, or they will be successful because of it. That's the most critical relationship in the entire team. And it goes back to this trust thing. If you have complete trust and you show it, and you have to be careful. I've never criticized a quarterback in my life publicly ever. If I had to deal with him, it was behind closed doors, even in practice. You know, you just don't do those things. You build them up. You don't tear them down. And then if you have something negative to say, it's just like in practice, guys. If he throws a pick in practice, you don't correct him because you don't know what happened until you see the tape. You look at it and tape it and meet him one-on-one with him and say, what did you see here? Oh, that's why he did. Okay, here's what we need to look at then. And you make a change or you fix it. But you got to build them up all the time. You can't tear these guys down. You can't leave any room that you don't trust them or have complete faith in them.
Mike, is there a quarterback on a roster right now in the NFL who you don't think is, you know, might not be getting playing time, who you think is on his, if he gets a chance, will be really, really good?
It's a tough question because I'm not as familiar with the rosters as Kyler Murray might be the biggest surprise of the league. I've always been a big fan of his. And I think now in a system, now there's a great quarterback situation right there. If you don't play quarterback, that's a place you want to be. And I think he's got a real chance that they can keep him healthy there to having a great, great year. Because as small as he is, he's so elusive and so quick. But he's a good processor. I mean, he sees things quickly and gets the ball out quick for a guy of his stature. And, you know, that relationship is so critical. I'm excited for them. I think they really got things going. The guy that I'm a big fan, of course, is Ben Johnson. I think he does as good a job as anybody in the league. And going back a little bit, you know, we're talking about Andy Reid. Now, Ben Johnson, if anybody can get that quarterback going, it's Ben. And, you know, talking to him this spring, you know, he feels he's got a long way to go, which means he's going to get there. Because he could itemize exactly what he's got to fix with his kid, and he'll get it done. I think he's as good as there is right now in offensive football, Ben Johnson.
So you've also had a lot of really good wide receivers that you've had to coach as well. Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Brandon Marshall, down the line from there. Browns have two rookie wide receivers in. What goes into developing rookie wide receivers?
Okay, they don't understand when they come in there the association with the quarterback. And the first thing we tell them is you have to play this game through the eyes of the quarterback. You have to understand where he expects you to be. We had a saying with the receivers, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, and don't ever fool the quarterback. That was your golden rule. And that if you're supposed to be at 15 yards in this route, don't be at 14, don't be at 13, you be at 15. And the accountability part of it, where they can just kind of lackadaisical if they don't think they're getting the ball like they do in college and all that sort of thing, that stuff, it gets exposed immediately in the NFL. And I think for young receivers coming in the league, the discipline of that position and playing with great energy and speed and being in good enough shape. You know, if you ask our receivers, Isaac and Torrey and Oz and all those guys, they used to tell me all the time, Wednesday and Thursday practice were brutal. The games were fun. The games were easy. And we just wore them out on Wednesday, Thursday, so that physically they're prepared for Sunday. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, guys used to always tell me, God, you guys look so fast in the fourth quarter. We're in great shape. And that's how we practice, you know, and the discipline of it. And it's like the quarterback position is probably a very poorly coached position from a lot of respects, because there's not a lot of discipline instilled in these guys. You know, just get open kind of a thing. You know, here's where we think you should be, and the technicalities of beating men under and bracket coverage and all those things, the mental part of that thing is huge for a guy to understand all the different coverages and looks and how to beat it. You know, the releases and I look, just we'd spend 30 minutes on just a stance. Which these guys come in, their toes, they all want to put their toes in, and they want to drop their hands down and stand tall like it's cool, you know, and that's everything about that's wrong. So you have to go back and redefine how they even get in a stance, how, where they put their hands, what they do with their eyes before the ball snap, the whole gamut. And, you know, those kids that come in, they never have to learn that stuff before.
Wow. Mike March joining us. Mike, last thought. The Browns are sitting here with a quarterback competition that I loved your thoughts on it. They don't work. They're trying to figure out who's going to be their quarterback while having assets to take a quarterback next year high in the draft. How do you handle that as a head coach, knowing that that's sitting right over there in the draft? You know you're going to probably draft a quarterback unless something weird happens, yet you have to coach this team with these quarterbacks this year.
Well, you know, you like one of those guys to step up and make it a situation where you don't need to draft a quarterback, you know. I just think, you know, one of these two guys, however they decide this thing, you get them ready and they've got to have a great year. And then, you know, and those good quarterbacks in the draft, they come from everywhere in the draft. I mean, they come from everywhere. You know, we drafted Fitzpatrick's in the seventh round. What, he played for 15 or 16 years in the league? So you find him everywhere. And, you know, so the evaluation part of that is so important. But the biggest concern is, you know, hey, whoever it is that they pick, you know, just make it so that we don't need to draft a quarterback next year, you know. Your whole focus is on getting into play at such a high level this year. And unfortunately, all that's going to depend on their offensive line. And, you know, like I've told you guys before, the most important position in all football is the offensive line. If you're good in the offensive line, takes the pressure off your defense, allows you to run or throw it when you feel like you need to do it to win a game, you know. And I, you know, if they can get that offensive line squared away,